Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. You know, honey, after doing all the Labor Day prayer calls, the Lord was talking to me about momentum.
And you gain and momentum when you're praying.
You gain momentum when you're praying. And see, we want everybody to understand that particularly since those Labor Day calls, the momentum for change is moving your way. It's headed to your house.
Hallelujah.
And in your life. Momentum is best defined as the amount of force moving a body that has because of it. Let me say that again. The amount of force a moving body has because of its weight and speed at which it's moving. Momentum works the same way whether you're a short person or a hefty one. If you take a big rock, it will not travel very fast until you give it a push on a downhill slope. Then watch out. Mm. You may not have done a rock, but if you live in an area where you get some snow, right. You might have done a snowball and roll it down a hill, and you wouldn't. That'd help you know what we're talking about. But this is the point. Momentum is a moving force that overcomes resistance, even overwhelming odds.
When David ran to Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, verses 48 and 49 in the Message Bible, it says this: that roused the Philistine, and he started toward David. David took off from the front line, running toward the Philistine. David reached into his pocket for a stone, slung it, and hit the Philistine hard in the forehead, embedding the stone deeply. The Philistine crashed face down in the dirt.
One of my favorite stories.
Yes.
Is when did rock and roll start?
I know.
David and Goliath. David took a rock and rolled the giant.
There you go.
I've told that every time, I think. We talk about David and Goliath. Anyhow, here's why momentum is moving your way. Number one, stop seeing yourself the way others see you. When we're confident of who we are in Christ, when we exercise our faith, when we know our cause is just and our calling right, then we should never be moved by what others, including friends and family, might say. 1 Samuel 17:28 in the New Living Translation. But when David's oldest brother, Eliab, heard David talking to the men, he was angry. "What are you doing around here anyway?" he demanded. "What about those few sheep you're supposed to be taking care of? I know about your pride and deceit. You want to see the battle." Now, David didn't bother. David's brother questioned his judgment, demeaned his work, judged his motives, without ever giving David an opportunity to respond. You may have family or friends who view you and your goals the same way. But follow the wisdom of David as a young man. Hallelujah. Goes the next two verses, 1 Samuel 17:29-30. And David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. See, David didn't defend himself. He merely asked if this wasn't a cause his brother believed in. Without waiting for an answer, he turned, started talking to someone else. To gain momentum in our lives, we need a confidence in who we are in Christ, then a focused view of our future. And the last thing we need is a jealous or biased opinion of someone whose perspective limits their own reality and possibilities for the future.
Number two, despise not small beginnings. 1 Samuel 17:40, continuing on here. In 1 Samuel 17:40, in the Classic Amplified, it says, "Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's or lunch bag as a whole kid's skin slung over his shoulder. And in his pouch, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine." Have you ever thought about what the Israelites, as well as the Philistines, were thinking when David reaches down into the stream and picks up 5 smooth stones. The Israelites were probably saying, stones? Really? This kid is going to go fight a giant with rocks? We're in big trouble. We're probably all going to die here today. And the Philistines, they no doubt were snickering and laughing and anticipating a great victory. But what seemed small and insignificant to most everybody else became a destiny changer in the hands of David. The first job he'd ever had was just that, the first one. It didn't mean that your future success gets stuck right there. Walt Disney's first job, are you ready for this? He was fired for not being creative enough. J.K. Rowling was fired from a secretarial job because she spent too much time daydreaming about a boy named Harry Potter. A Baltimore television producer told Oprah Winfrey she was unfit for the evening news. And have you ever heard of Handy Dan? He's the home improvement chain that fired Bernie Marcus and Arthur Blank, which gave them the motivation to start Home Depot. The list could go on, but the point of it is your first job is that just that, your first job. You don't need to let anyone demean your ideas or minimize your potential for success. In Zechariah 4:10, it says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. It's not where you start in life, it's where you end up. And our momentum, once it gets started, will become an irresistible force regardless of how we began or where we are in life.
You know, honey, this teaching really, what we did yesterday.
Yes, it builds on it.
Builds on it. And about your studying and, you know, everything.
Mm.
Number 3, make the most of where you're at and what you're doing at the moment. When the prophet Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint the next king of Israel, David was not even thought of. He was left out in the wilderness with the sheep. 1 Samuel 16:11, classic Amplified. Then he said to Jesse, are all your sons here? Jesse said, there is yet the youngest. He is tending the sheep. Samuel said to Jesse, send for him, for we will not sit down to eat until he's here. Some people would have felt left out, if not offended, because they weren't invited to meet the prophet. But David made the most of where he was at and when he was called and where he was called to be, which gave him a confidence when opportunity arose before him. 1 Samuel 17:34-36. 1 Samuel 17:34-36 in the King James. And David said unto Saul, thy servant keep his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be one of them, seeing that he hath defied the armies of the living God. Listen, if God has given you a big vision, but you don't yet see it start to manifest, be diligent where you are. Create a momentum for your future by your faithfulness and studying the Word today. Ask yourself, what can I do at this very moment to improve where I'm at? Is there a study course you can take that will improve your performance on the job or that will contribute to your greater success in life? Is there someone who's at or been where you are or where you want to go in life who can serve as a mentor to you? Or the habits that you need to cultivate or change, which will increase your value in life and the marketplace? Not sure? Ask God. He's happy to reveal the things you need to do. And when you need to do them. Psalm 32:8, classic Amplified. I, the Lord, will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. You don't need to be like anyone else. You're an original. Just be and do what God created you to be and do.
And you know, I just might add, honey, you know, sometimes after tough days, you end up coming home and you think, boy, I'm just going to forget about all of this and just put my feet up and relax. And there's times when you'll need to do that. But there are also times when if you want to get ahead and want to get out of this, you don't sit and bellyache or just ignore it. You do something about it.
Amen.
Number four, ignore the criticisms of others when your cause is just and your direction clear. You know, not only did David have to endure the ridicule and verbal abuse of his older brother, which we discussed earlier, but he had to deal with the doubt of King Saul. Because in 1 Samuel 17:33, it says, "And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." If we allow the enemy or others to make and question our age or our education or our experience or maybe lack thereof, we will lose momentum. We don't need to allow anyone other than the Word of God to determine our worth, value, or potential.
Say that again.
We don't need to allow anyone outside the Word of God to determine our worth, our value, or our potential.
That's powerful.
It is. And most certainly never let it affect your performance on the job. Remember who you're working for. Colossians 3:23 in the Classic Amplified says, "Whatever may be your task, work at it heartily from the soul as something done for the Lord and not for men." Believe me, that will change your whole attitude toward what you do. You need to ask the big boss, you know, whether or not he would hire, promote, or give you a raise. And sadly, the reason a large number of believers are not promoted or achieve their dreams is simply because they're not faithful where they are at the moment. Let me tell you this, God will, and this is the way he works, when your attitude and what you need to learn from the job you're in, when you satisfy that, then you will have promoted yourself and God will make sure that you go on after that. But you have to reach that potential that God sees in you in that job before he's going to open another way for you to go.
You know, honey, 3 or 4 days a week ago, one on a Rich Thoughts for breakfast, we pointed out that anybody, no one should allow a grumpy boss, a sarcastic supervisor, a lack of pay or recognition, keep us from doing the best job we can.
That's right.
Wherever we're assigned at the moment. It's important, imperative, essential, absolutely necessary that we give our best efforts where we are, regardless of what others say or do. As we've pointed out so many times, we can't control what other people say or do, but we definitely can control how we act and react, and that determines our motivation and our momentum.
And determines what God is thinking of us and how quickly he will promote us.
Well, obviously, we're not finishing this today. We'll do it tomorrow. Go to haroldherring.com. Check out this week's two-minute video. If you've been blessed by the teaching at the top where it says sow a seed, just ask God what seed he'd have you put in the ground. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.